Tonight, witch hunt. President Trump lashes out at the appointment of a special counsel as a powerful Republican says the Russia probe appears to be a criminal investigation. Plus a new wrinkle. Did the president know Michael Flynn was under investigation before naming him national security advisor? Horror in Times Square. A speeding driver slams into pedestrians, causing chaos and carnage in the heart of New York City. Was it a deliberate act? Roger Ailes dies, the disgraced Fox News founder's sudden death months after being forced out. Late word tonight from the coroner. Beachgoers, beware, a new warning about those sunscreens at the store. You might not be getting what it says on the bottle. And a valuable lesson in friendship playing out at recess. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. We heard directly from President Trump late today about the onslaught of headlines battering the White House this week. In a brief news conference, the president saying yesterday's appointment of a special counsel to take over the Russia investigation is a witch hunt that divides the country. And he offered an emphatic no when asked whether he urged former FBI Director Comey to stop investigating his national security advisor, Michael Flynn. But the headlines keep coming. We get details now from Chief White House Correspondent Hallie Jackson.
Tonight, new reaction to the special counsel taking over the Russia investigation.
I respect the move, but the entire thing has been a witch hunt, and there is no collusion between certainly myself and my campaign. But I can always speak for myself and the Russians, zero. I think it divides the country.
At his first press conference, after a series of bombshell reports, presidential pushback.
Did you at any time urge former FBI Director James Comey in any way, shape, or form to close or to back down the investigation into Michael Flynn? And also, as you look back...
No. Next question.
On defense and on the record, President Trump denying James Comey's version of what happened before he was fired, according to sources who saw a memo Comey wrote about a meeting with the president. President Trump again revisiting why he fired Comey in the first place. The night it happened, he pointed to a recommendation from his deputy attorney general. Later, he told Lester,
"Oh, I was going to fire regardless of recommendation."
Now?
Director Comey was very unpopular with most people. I actually thought when I made that decision, and I also got a very, very strong recommendation, as you know, from the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
On Capitol Hill, Rod Rosenstein acknowledging his role.
He knew that Comey was going to be removed prior to him writing his memo.
For the president, his public venting about that so-called witch hunt, undercutting the message from his own aides about the special counsel. NBC News has learned Chief of Staff Reince Priebus in the Oval Office last night urged Team Trump to turn the page and focus on the president's agenda, according to a senior administration source. Still, speculations swirling about a possible shakeup. The spotlight on embattled Press Secretary Sean Spicer. Two top White House aides tell NBC News the president is considering having his deputy, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, play a larger role in day-to-day briefings.
He should have people out defending his decisions, defending his choices, advancing his agenda. But when they can't trust that he will not have undermined their public statements, it's difficult for them to say much of anything.
President Trump says he will make his pick to replace Comey at the FBI very soon, maybe before he leaves for his first international trip tomorrow. Multiple administration sources point to former Senator Joe Lieberman as among the favorites. Lester?
All right, Hallie Jackson starting us off from the White House. Thank you. And meantime, tonight, the White House is reeling from yet another revelation about fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. An explosive report in the New York Times that the Trump team knew he was under investigation before he was given that powerful job at the White House. NBC's Peter Alexander has details.
Despite his short tenure as National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn still casting a long shadow over the Trump White House. The New York Times reporting that Flynn informed the Trump transition team's chief lawyer, Don McGahn, weeks before the inauguration that he was under federal investigation for secretly working as a paid lobbyist for Turkey during the campaign. The White House says the story is flat wrong. Despite the warning, Mr. Trump named Flynn to lead his national security team, granting him access to the nation's deepest secrets before firing him 3 weeks later. Chairing the transition team, Vice President-elect Mike Pence, who to this day maintains he was unaware of Flynn's ties to Turkey.
Let me say, hearing that story today was the first I heard of it.
Tonight, an administration aide telling NBC News if McGahn knew and didn't tell Pence, it's either malpractice or intentional, and either is unacceptable. And within Trump's inner circle, a former campaign official tells NBC News the Trump family had a blind spot when it came to Flynn, who was rewarded for his loyalty to the president. Four law enforcement officials tell NBC News Flynn and former campaign chairman Paul Manafort are now key figures in the FBI's Russia investigation, with multiple grand jury subpoenas and records requests issued in connection with the two men during the last 6 months. In the crosshairs of multiple investigations, Flynn's lawyers yet to honor a Senate Intelligence Committee subpoena for documents related to Russia's interference in the 2016 campaign.
We'll figure out on General Flynn what the next step, if any, is.
Still, President Trump remains an unflinching defender of Flynn, with Lester last week.
He's, in my opinion, a very good person.
And according to Yahoo News, late last month, Flynn told loyalists, "I just got a message from the president to stay strong." Two U.S. officials tell NBC News that Flynn took action during the transition that would directly benefit Turkey, pushing to delay a decision to arm a group that Turkey opposed in the fight against ISIS. Mr. Trump would ultimately sign off on that policy after Michael Flynn left. Lester?
Peter Alexander, thank you. Meanwhile, we're also learning the Flynn investigation and the broader Russia probe surrounding it may become a criminal investigation under the man now leading it, Special Counsel Robert Mueller. And Mueller, the former FBI director, has some big decisions to make. We get more from NBC News Justice correspondent Pete Williams.
Senator said the deputy attorney general told them today that Robert Mueller will take over an investigation entering a new phase.
So I think the biggest legal change seems to be that Mr. Mueller is going to proceed forward with the idea of a criminal investigation versus a counterintelligence investigation.
Meaning what started purely as an investigation of Russia's influence on the campaign is now using all the legal resources available, subpoenas, interviews, grand juries, to see if anyone here was helping. Mueller takes it on with strong bipartisan support.
He is someone who's widely respected for his professionalism. He's going to conduct a fair and thorough investigation, of that I have no doubt.
He's already hired two people, Aaron Zebley, his former chief of staff at the FBI, and James Quarles, who was on the Watergate prosecution team. There's been only one other outside special counsel, former U.S. Senator John Danforth, brought on 18 years ago to investigate the federal government's role in the deadly end to the long standoff in Waco, Texas. His advice, say up front what Mueller will look at to manage expectations.
Job one is the immediate clarification of exactly what his mission is. What is he going to investigate? What is he not going to investigate?
It'll be an adjustment for Robert Mueller, no longer in charge of an agency he ran like the tough Marine he once was. But a former FBI counterterror official says he's not surprised Mueller would quit a private law firm to do this.
He once told me, he said, never leave government service. He said, you're not going to enjoy anything as much as you enjoy serving your country.
But like any other federal employee, Robert Mueller could be fired if the president were to order it.
And there's no way to tell how long this will take. Before Comey was fired, those involved were saying it would last several more months. Now it's up to Mueller to say when it's done and to report to the deputy attorney general on his findings, even to file charges if Mueller concludes that crimes were committed. Lester.
All right, Pete Williams, thanks. Tonight, investigators are trying to determine if a driver deliberately rammed his car into a crowd of pedestrians in Times Square here in New York, killing a young woman and injuring 22 other people. It was a horrifying scene that had many initially fearing terrorism. We get late details from NBC's Kristen Dahlgren.
Lunchtime horror.
You got a car running people over for 2 and 7.
In one of the world's most famous tourist spots.
We have multiple people injured.
The car jumping the curb, hurtling down the sidewalk for 3.5 blocks, mowing down pedestrians and leaving carnage in its wake.
People start screaming and running to the people who are injured.
An 18-year-old girl is killed, her 13-year-old sister wounded, and almost two dozen injured by the time the maroon Honda finally hits a metal stanchion in Times Square.
flames started coming out from under it, so everyone was just grabbing us and telling us to, like, come, like, pull back and evacuate.
The driver fleeing into a panicked crowd is quickly captured.
The first feeling was that it might be something like an attack when a car plows into a pedestrian area.
After recent attacks using vehicles in Berlin, Nice, and London, police very quickly say there is no link to international terrorism in this case, but are looking into whether it was deliberate.
As you saw today, they took no chances. Even though they had had this guy, they had him locked up, they had to assume that there could have been a complete alternative motive behind it.
The driver is identified as 26-year-old Richard Rojas, a Navy veteran with a history of DWIs. Police say he tested negative for alcohol today, but did test positive for drugs and admits to smoking marijuana before the accident. Meantime, tonight, police have upped their presence around the city. Whatever the motive, today's incident showing what damage can be done.
The reality is a car can jump a curb in Boston, Chicago, New York, and at noontime in any American city, you cannot barrier off every sidewalk, every road in America.
At this hour, much of Times Square remains closed as the investigation continues. Police say charges are pending. We're also learning more tonight about the victim. 18-year-old Alyssa Elsman Lester was visiting here from Michigan.
All right, Kristen Dahlgren tonight in New York. Thank you. We're seeing some extreme weather whiplash across the country this evening. It may feel like summer already in many parts of the U.S., but in the Rockies, it looks more like winter. A storm bringing several feet of snow to some areas. Meanwhile, tens of millions are at risk tonight of the country's midsection after a deadly tornado outbreak this week. NBC's Jacob Rascone is tracking the new storm threat.
There it is. You're watching it live.
Late today, a tornado touching down near Duke, Oklahoma.
Big, massive circulation here.
The Midwest, recovering from the devastating tornado outbreak earlier this week, now bracing for round two. 31 million people under a severe weather threat from Texas to Nebraska. Parts of Oklahoma and Kansas under a high-risk storm alert, a rare warning for intense tornadoes, widespread large hail, and winds greater than 70 miles per hour.
These severe storms will continue to move into the Midwest overnight, but then tomorrow, another round of severe weather will break out in the same general area. The best chance of large tornadoes will be across Oklahoma and down through Texas.
What is this?
Further west, however, a late spring storm dumping heavy snow, shutting down Colorado highways and many schools. Up to 3 feet of snow in parts of Montana. But in the Northeast, a completely different story. Record-breaking heat baking Boston and New York.
It's a strong tornado, no question about that.
A long night ahead in the Midwest, a massive storm system packing a punch. Oklahoma's in the middle of a tornado outbreak. At least 11 reports of tornadoes so far, with many more expected. Here in Oklahoma City, the rain is just starting to fall. The storm will intensify and move up through Kansas overnight. Lester?
Jacob Rascone, thank you. Late word this evening about what caused the sudden death of Fox News founder Roger Ailes. The coroner says Ailes died from complications related to a head injury that he suffered after a fall at his home in Florida. His death at 77 comes less than a year after he was ousted from the empire he built following a sexual harassment scandal. NBC's Ann Thompson has more.
The news traveled on the ticker outside headquarters.
Fox News alert.
And from the studios within.
Roger Ailes, one of the founders of the Fox News Channel, has died.
A polarizing figure to the end, Roger Ailes combined his two passions, politics and television, to build Fox News, allegedly abusing his power for his own pleasure.
Women who worked for Ailes have told me over and over again in interviews that they felt pressured to succumb to his sexual advances.
Ailes always denied the charges that now overshadow his career.
Welcome to the Mike Douglas Show.
It began on the Mike Douglas Show, going from prop boy to executive producer until a meeting with guest Richard Nixon led him to a career in Republican politics. Ailes was said to have two speeds, attack and destroy.
I predicted in 1968 that nobody would ever be elected to high office again without learning how to communicate effectively on television.
His media savvy helped elect Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush. Today, former President Bush tweeting, "Not sure I would have been president without his great talent, loyal help."
Politics is America's favorite indoor sport.
He would make his indelible mark creating Fox News, a platform for conservative voices.
What is Ailes' legacy?
I think it's really transforming American politics into a contact sport where there's no rules and anything goes.
Ailes' biographer Gabe Sherman calls it a world wrestling style of politics that led to the election of Donald Trump, a controversial Republican kingmaker undone by scandal. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
There's a lot more ahead here this evening. It is heating up out there, but don't get burned by picking the wrong sunscreen this summer. A warning about the surprising number that may not protect like the labels promise. Also, something we've never seen before in this country, a major change for America's moms. Hope you can stay with us. Beach season is just around the corner, and a new study by Consumer Reports out today is trying to help people avoid getting burned. The surprising results found that a lot of those SPF numbers on sunscreen labels are much higher than the protection that's really inside the bottle. NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent has this consumer alert.
Beachgoers, beware. Consumer Reports says that some sunscreens fail to provide the level of protection promised on their package. Of the 58 lotions, sprays, and sticks evaluated, 20 tested at less than half their labeled SPF number.
You potentially have the risk of really damaging your skin if you're relying on it to protect yourself.
Five sunscreens labeled with the SPF of 50 or 50 plus had an actual level between 0 and 9. Among the brands, the Honest Company Mineral Lotion SPF 50 plus and CeraVe's Body Lotion 50 plus. Both companies responded saying their testing found the promised SPF 50 protection is provided and that testing was done according to the FDA's regulations. Also troubling for consumers?
There's no consistency among brands.
Some brands that sell products rated as excellent also feature products that rate as merely fair. Coppertone's Water Babies 50 was rated excellent, while its Sport High Performance Spray SPF 30 was found to have 49% less SPF than what appears on the label. Bayer, the parent company of Coppertone, says it goes beyond what the FDA requires in its comprehensive testing program, which includes the evaluation of our products by independent dermatologists, pediatricians, and scientists. The sunscreen industry says Consumer Reports' testing methods are not consistent with those used by the FDA. Consumer Reports gives high marks to several products, the top lotion, La Roche-Posay's Melt-In Sunscreen Milk 60, the top spray, Trader Joe's 50 SPF, the top stick, Target's Up and Up.
Experts say to make sure that your sunscreen is as effective as possible, give it a good shake so that the active ingredients are evenly distributed. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Washington.
When we come back, the viral video you have to see, a very unexpected moment of live TV featuring a certain former president. A sad day in the world of music as fans mourn the loss of rock star Chris Cornell. Cornell rose to fame as the lead singer for Soundgarden, a pioneering band in the 90s grunge rock scene known for songs like Black Hole Sun. Cornell was found dead in his hotel room after performing at a sold-out show in Detroit last night. According to the medical examiner, he had taken his own life. Cornell was 52 years old. A sign of the times tonight, the CDC says for the first time, women in their early 30s are having more babies than younger moms. Health experts say it's due to more women waiting to have children, combined with a drop in the teen birth rate. The average age when women have their first child is now about 28. And even former presidents can't resist a good photo bomb. Take a look here. George W. Bush at the Rangers-Phillies game in Texas popping up behind a Fox Sports reporter to say, hey, to the camera during the live broadcast, and kept on walking. It quickly became a hit on social media. Up next, the big idea of making the playground a little less lonely for some kids. Finally, tonight, a lesson in friendship. When a girl noticed kids feeling left out at school, she decided to do something about it using a simple but pretty powerful idea spreading across the country. NBC's Rahima Ellis has tonight's Inspiring America report.
At Harrisonville Elementary, kids are learning a valuable life lesson that plays out at recess when someone's having a hard time fitting in.
How would I feel if I was in that position?
9-year-old Gabrielle Vaughn asked herself that question when she was told about a little girl who was feeling lonely at school. Gabrielle was moved.
If you don't want to feel that way, you need to do something about it.
And she did. Gabrielle heard about the Buddy Bench, a tool that helps bring kids together and feel more included. And last year, this third grader, working with teachers, got her school a bench of its own.
It's not just a regular old bench where you can sit down and eat your lunch. It's a bench where you can make friends. Have you been?
The idea is simple. If a child is sitting alone, that's when a classmate should go ask them to play.
It's not fun to have no one to play with, so I just go over and ask them if they want to play with me.
It's just what Carson Harrison needed.
I felt pretty upset.
He went to the buddy bench when he was feeling left out.
And then another group came over and asked if I wanted to play with them.
Finding a friendly face or that shoulder to lean on can be hard, which explains why nearly 2,000 buddy benches have popped up across the country, many of them implemented by students themselves.
Everybody deserves to have a friend.
Everybody.
Everybody.
The lesson here, written on the buddy bench at Gabrielle's school, a friend is only a seat away. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Harrisonville, Missouri.
I love that. Everybody deserves a friend. That's going to do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.